This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This summer, the Supreme Court dealt a major blow to public sector unions, the Janus decision. The court ruled these unions cannot collect money, known as agency fees, from non-members who are covered by collective bargaining agreements. Some labor experts predict teachers' unions will lose members as a result and weaken them as a political force. Unit 5 Teachers Union President Lindsay Dickinson tells GLT's Ryan Denham she hasn't seen many dues-paying members leave the union yet. And next door in District 87, Union President Joe Lewis says they never collected agency fees anyway, making them a test case for the post-Janus future.
In our association, we have never charged an agency fee. So even though, like all districts, our contract represents all members, and therefore union presidents like myself have to represent all members under the contract, even the members who don't join the union, they don't pay any fees at all. And I'm still bound to represent them because they fall under our contract. Now, that being said, we've had over our history right around 80% membership who have always voluntarily joined, and only around, you know, usually it's the beginning teachers and the teachers, to a lesser extent, the teachers at the end of their career choose not to join for various reasons. But generally speaking, we've had very good membership numbers without that agency fee. So as far as Janus goes, we're kind of a test case, I think, for what might happen in Illinois, which is, I don't know what 80, I mean, the numbers are higher at Unit 5 right now, but 80% membership does seem to sustain us at Bloomington Education Association pretty well.
And so, Lindsay, with Unit 5 Education Association, what is the split between teachers who are full union dues paying members and then those who in the past have been covered with agency fees that they've paid?
Sure. So we have about 1,000 teachers and certified staff in Unit 5. Prior to Janus, we had three members that were fee payers. They were fair share members. So they received all the same benefits of the contract, but if something were to go wrong, they wouldn't have union representation unless it fell under the contract. Now we have about 7 or 8 members from new hires or people that have dropped. So we have about 7 or 8 that are not members right now. We call them potential members. So right now we have about 7 or 8 out of 1,000. I mean, hopefully we fall under the same success rate as Bloomington did with about 80%, but right now we're looking pretty good.
What kind of feedback and questions did you hear from your members in the weeks and months after the Janus decision at the Supreme Court?
So for us, it was a lot of people asking questions of what does this mean? What is the difference? And now we have to educate members on what the difference is and what things you receive by being a member of the union or a potential member. So I think on my behalf, it's been a lot of education of members, a lot of things of this is what it means for us. Yes, you still have a contract. Yes, you're still on the salary schedule. Yes, everything is pretty much the same. Just now some of the added benefits of being a union member is different.
Although the decision did not affect or impact our members, which I told them that. There was a big change coming that we tried to educate our members about starting last spring, and namely that's the Freedom of Information Act requests, which have been sought by people who want to mail out to our members information about Janus, telling them, hey, now you can drop. And even though our members weren't paying an agency fee, that was something that me and my staff spent a lot of time trying to educate our members about whether or not these mailings apply to them, which, you know, of course they did. They could drop their membership, but we had to ensure them, make sure they understood that there were really no changes for them, and if they wanted to remain members, they could do so.
I wonder whether or not we'll see more strikes as a result of this decision. If every state in the country is going to be playing by these types of rules now, are we going to see more dramatic actions by teachers who don't have a satisfactory experience at the bargaining table?
I think that's a fascinating question. I tried to follow as much as I could the West Virginia strikes, yeah, and the was it Colorado,
Arizona,
Kentucky, Arizona, and it seems, I mean, some of those states seem to have unions that were somewhat robust. Some didn't, but in the end, I think it just depends. I mean, the union is the teachers. I mean, a lot of people, I think, misconstrue the union as a top-down organization. It's really not. So I think in those states, maybe they, I don't want to speculate too much, but in our case, our teachers see the value of the union and are able to speak through it, and therefore we haven't even talked about a strike in years. And that's speaking District 87 without fair share. So all I can guess from what I've read in those states, those teachers felt like they lost their voice. And yeah, teachers are probably going to become more militant because they'll see negative impacts on the students in their classroom. And if, you know, if that happened here, I would imagine we would become angrier as well. But right now, our voice is heard, and that's important.
And I guess if we look at West Virginia, you know, they had to negotiate their pay through state legislature. It was done by the state. It was not individual districts. And I think that maybe that has something to do with it. I mean, we know that if you are trying to negotiate a salary for hundreds of thousands of teachers, that's going to be hard to do versus our local contract negotiations probably would be able to go much faster with having to not so much talk about strikes or you know, problems. Being able to do it at a lower level would probably, I would think, would be a lot easier to be able to handle than doing it statewide.
When the unions are from the grassroots, that's where the power is. Then teachers are able to negotiate at that lower level, and therefore there's no need for militancy. They have their voice.
That's Joe Lewis, president of the Bloomington Education Association, and Lindsay Dickinson, president of the Unit 5 Education Association. They represent teachers working in Unit 5 and District 87. I'm Ryan Denham.
Hear more about the challenges faced by Illinois teachers in GLT's Skipping School series for a different perspective on the state's teacher shortage crisis. Find the whole series at wglt.org/skippingschool.